Some of you know that I'm in a season where the Lord has given me an assignment. I've mentioned this a couple of times, to just read through the Bible from Genesis right on through. And with that assignment, he said, just keep going. This is not for you to be getting teachings or sermons. Just keep reading. And that's been really hard for me, because everything is a teaching. I'm always looking, I'm always asking, but so God is God and he can do whatever he wants. So I've been reading, and I'm in the book of Isaiah now, and I'm almost done with that, but I keep being drawn back to the beginning of Isaiah, not the real beginning, but chapter 11, and I kept saying, but God, you said not to get a teaching, but I kept being drawn back to that. So, like I said, he is God. He can do whatever he wants. And that's where we're going tonight, to Isaiah 11. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation for the most part tonight, just so you know. So starting right out in verse 1. It says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a branch bearing fruit from the old root. Now, when you think of something growing, you don't necessarily think of it growing from a stump. You think of a tree, that things grow from trees. But it says here, out of the stump of David's family, or the root of Jesse, grows a shoot. Yes, a new branch here bearing fruit from the old root. And when I read that, I couldn't help but think of another scripture that talks about stumps and things growing from stumps. And it's the scripture that God gave me when he told me to start a ministry of my own called Scent of Water. So in Job 14, 7 through 9, it says, a tree, if it is cut down, will sprout again and grow new branches. Though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays, at the scent of water, it will bud and sprout again like a new seedling. That which appears to be dead at the scent of water, by the moving of the Holy Spirit, can come back to life again. And so in Isaiah, we're seeing that same picture. There's a stump. There's an old root there. And the Lord says, I'm going to make something new out of this. There's a new branch coming, and it's going to be different from anything you've ever experienced before. And I found it interesting. One chapter back, at the end of chapter 10, it says, talks about the trees, the mighty trees of God's enemies and what he does to them. In 10, verse 33, it says, but look, the Lord of heaven's armies will chop down the mighty tree of Assyria with great power. He will cut down the proud, that lofty tree he brought down. He will cut down the forest trees with an axe, and Lebanon will fall to the mighty one. So he's saying there's this cutting I'm doing of the trees that I don't want to bear fruit. But then, out of a stump, out of Jesse's root, will grow a shoot, a new branch bearing fruit from an old root, something new coming. And it goes on to say, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. In this translation, branch is capitalized. Yes, branch is capitalized. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This is known is the sevenfold Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that Jesus would have in him that would contain all of these things. It would contain wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge in the fear of the Lord, this new branch that's coming. And here's the fruit of it. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. What a picture. Out of a stump comes a branch that will bear the Spirit of God. Not only coming and going as had been the case in the Old Testament, but a Spirit that dwells on him and in him forever. That same Spirit that came upon this branch now lives in us. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, "But to those called by God to salvation, both the Jews and the Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." To us who know him, to us who have become new, to us who have been called out of death into life with his Spirit on us, Christ is now the power of God within us and the wisdom of God within us. And it talks about a branch in the New Testament as well. In John 15, it says, "We are now meant to be branches." It says, "He's the vine dresser," right? He's the vine. The Father's the vine dresser. And we now are called branches. Just like he was called a branch, we now are called branches. In 15 verse 5, it says, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Remain in me, my words remain in you. Your prayers will be answered, and you will produce much fruit." Is it that same fruit the capital B branch had? I think it's meant to be. I think that we're meant to have the same things that I read about in Isaiah 11. That we will have wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord, that we will delight in obeying the Lord, that we won't judge by appearance or make decisions by hearsay, that we'll give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake as his word comes out of us, and the enemy is slain, and we'll wear it like a garment. His righteousness and his truth. Throughout the New Testament, it talks about wisdom being given to us as a gift, not something that we can earn, not something that we can work hard enough for, but that God says, "I'm going to give you a gift of wisdom." And throughout the Bible, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit and wisdom being one of them. So that says to me, all of us can have wisdom because all of us who are born again by the Spirit of God have that Spirit in us. And wisdom is part of our inheritance, part of what he has given us. Some will be given unusual wisdom. It talked about Joseph was given unusual wisdom. He had a job to do. He became second in command in the most powerful country in the world as it was known then. He needed unusual wisdom, and he knew how to have crops to feed not only those in Egypt, but those in Israel too. He had unusual wisdom. It can be general, just knowing how to live, or very specific. When we need wisdom in specific situations, it's meant to be ours. And so, as you've probably gathered, I'm going to focus in on the spirit of wisdom tonight. And when the Lord began to speak to me, he said, well, he reminded me of one thing. the last time I sat presbytery, Ben Cotton had a word for me. And he started out by saying, "You've been at this for quite a long time." I chose not to be offended by that, is a reference to my age. But I have been at this for quite a long time. And he said, "You know, there's some things that if they come across your path, you know how to do it. You've done it a lot of times. You know how to do it." He said, "But the day is coming when you're going to reach back in your file cabinet and there'll be nothing there for the situation that you're in." And I am finding that that is happening to me in this season. What we thought we knew was good, and we still have those faithful things that we know and can rely on. But God is bringing us to a place in time, is the harvest that we've been praying for and the things that we think God is going to do, and people start coming, we may not know what to do with them. We may not have the wisdom we need to know how to face the situations that are ahead, because I believe he's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And we keep hearing that word over and over again. Many prophetic voices have said that. The time is coming when he will do a new thing. How are we going to know what to do if it's a new thing? We need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom and discernment of God, I think, more than I ever have in my 53 years of walking with the Lord. I feel it. I've experienced it. I've come up against some circumstances in the last few months that's like, "Lord, you keep bringing this situation to me, this person to me. I don't have a clue what to do. I'm trusting you, Lord." And in time after time, as I have done that, he's given me wisdom to know what to do. It's not something you can study for. It's not something that you get any other way but by his Spirit coming upon you to have the wisdom that you need to do the thing you need to do. And there are so many voices out there right now. So many voices. We need to have wisdom with discernment to know who's telling us the truth, who is who and what is what, so that we don't fall for things that are not of him. I've waited quite a while here, but here's some definitions for wisdom. The right use or exercise of knowledge. The best means to accomplish things. Wisdom is the exercise of sound judgment, either in avoiding evil or attempting good. We need it on both ways. We need to know what's evil in this world so that we can stay away from it. And we need to know what's good in this world so we can fall into agreement with it. Wisdom will give us both sides of that coin, to know what's evil and to know what's good and how to agree with it. It can be the knowledge of arts and sciences. If you have read the Old Testament, you know that God gifted men, craftsmen, with specific talents to know how to build the tabernacle. Bezalel and Aholiah especially were given knowledge, it says, and wisdom to know how to do what God told them to do. Had anything ever been built like that before? It was a very specific plan that God had. God has very specific plans for us, assignments for us. And we need to know how to do not just always the spiritual, but the practical things as well. It's all of that. It's the spiritual part and it's the practical part, but it was a gift from God that these men were especially anointed in knowing how to fulfill the plan that God had for the tabernacle. It gives us dexterity in execution. In Scripture, wisdom is part of true religion in its profitable words or doctrine in our lives. We have to have wisdom. I want to talk about a few more things having to do with wisdom. First of all, it's given to us as a command. And we can read that in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 5. This is the Amplified Bible. It says, "Get skillful in godly wisdom." Get is an imperative. It's a command. It means you get skillful in godly wisdom. Get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. Do not forget and do not turn back from the words of my mouth. This is Solomon speaking to his son. Forsake not wisdom, and she will keep, defend, and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. It's the beginning of it all. Get wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. And with all that you have gotten, get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. Prize wisdom highly and exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your head a wreath of gracefulness, a crown of beauty, and glory she will deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I've taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom, which is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. There's a definition right there. Wisdom is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. It's what he wants to give us. But he's saying, get it. It's not if you feel like it. It's a command. Get wisdom. He knows that we will need it. He knows that we do need it each day. Lay a foundation. And I have lots of scriptures. I'm just going to shoot some of them out to you. We're not going to look up every single one. In Psalm 111, verse 10, in Proverbs 1:7, Proverbs 15:33, and 9:10, it says, "Reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord bring wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom to us." The foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that was one of the things that was listed in Isaiah 11, that this branch would have the fear of the Lord and would love, delight in the fear of the Lord. I did a survey one time and asked people what they thought the fear of the Lord meant. It was a very interesting thing. There were many, many answers to that. But the fear of the Lord is meant for us simply to believe that he is God and we are not. He is God and we are not. And what he says goes. And what he shows me is what I want to obey. I have, I believe, a godly fear of the Lord. He doesn't want us trembling in our boots. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him like we would be afraid of some mean person. But he wants us to honor and respect him in a way that we know he knows best. And I don't want to face the consequence of not doing what he tells me to do. I don't know about you. My dad was a very kind and gentle man, but we did not, my sister and I, want to face the consequence of not doing what he told us to do. We had a very healthy fear of Dad. He wasn't mean at all. But we did what he asked us to do, and that's not a bad thing. In Proverbs 8, 11, in Proverbs 3, 14, and 15, it talks about how valuable wisdom is. It says, skillful and godly wisdom is better than ruby or pearls or any single thing you could ever want in this world. It's precious. It's meant to be a treasure to us, that you would have a treasure in wisdom more than any other thing we would want. Solomon was given a choice by God. What do you want? King Solomon, what do you want? And he thought about it, I'm sure, and he said, I want wisdom. And God commended him for that. He asked for wisdom. And people, if you read in the Old Testament, people came from all over the world to see and experience the wisdom that Solomon had. It was more precious to the people that came than all of his riches. They were more interested in seeing, what does this amazing, godly, skillful wisdom look like? And time again, it said they went home saying, it was just as awesome as we were told that it was. What would you like to be known for? What if people came to see you because they had heard tell that you have godly, skillful wisdom? And they left your company saying, it's just as awesome as I heard that it was. I believe that is something we all can have. It also says, get wisdom, lay a foundation with the fear of the Lord, recognize how valuable it is, and then it simply says, ask. So many people come to me and say, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. God has told me to do this, or I'm in this situation, or this has happened to me, and I just don't know what to do. And usually my first response is, have you asked God? Have you asked God what to do? That should be the very first thing we do about anything. We are so used to Googling things or going online to find out whatever we want to know without sometimes asking God, what do you want me to do here? What's the right path to take? How can I accomplish this? Ask God. In Proverbs 3:6, it says, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He wants you to have it. In James, the more familiar scripture, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. Ask God. If you need wisdom, ask him. He's generous. He is not going to withhold it from you because he wants you to be wise. He wants you to have wisdom because that is part of who he is. Ask. We also are called to maintain wisdom and to help it to grow in our lives. In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. None of us know how long we have on earth. And the Lord refers to it as, like when we're in a time of affliction, a momentary light. You know, that this life we're in is very short compared to eternity. If we have that as the standard, life is very short compared to eternity, which goes on forever. And it says, teach us to realize, Lord, the brevity of our life so that we may grow in wisdom. Don't put it off. Lord, I need to grow in wisdom. I want to ask. I'm going to lay the foundation. I'm going to obey your command to get wisdom. Help me not to put it off until tomorrow because of the brevity of my life. In Proverbs 8, it says, listen as wisdom cries out. Listen to me in verse 6. I have important things to tell you. To maintain wisdom in our lives, to listen, to have it not just be, I've gotten a gift like a Christmas gift and you never use it, but it's a gift that will grow in you. It's a gift that he wants you to use, not only for yourself, but to bless other people as well. And then, I think one of the really easiest things you can do is read the book of Proverbs. I've shared this before that my husband and I, my bookmark is him, by the way, there he is, there's Ron and Mason. For as long as we knew the Lord, our devotions together every day was five Psalms and a proverb, and that would take us through a month over and over and over again. So I've read the Proverbs many times in the 50 plus years, if you do it once a month. I haven't done the math, but that's a lot of time to do that. And it says right at the beginning of Proverbs, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. There it is, right in the first verse. The reason these were written is so that you could get wisdom and be wise and disciplined, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So right at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, it says the reason this book exists is to give you wisdom. Lynn will probably remember this, but way back when we had kids in Christ, one summer we were taking the month of August off, I think, and I gave the kids an assignment to read a proverb a day and to keep a notebook with columns, one that said wise and the other that said foolish. Do you remember that? Yeah. And many of the kids did that every day. They wrote down in their notebook if the proverb said how to be wise or what a fool looked like. And then not only did I give that assignment, but Alan, my son Alan, every day would read a proverb with Mason, and they would talk about how to be wise. Just as Solomon was imparting wisdom to his son, and he's saying, this is the most important thing for you to have is wisdom. Should we not be imparting that to our children as well? By saying, here's how you can be wise. Not necessarily, here's how you can be rich. Here's how you can be successful. Here's how you can be wise. And here's what a fool looks like. Nobody wants to be a fool. But to teach them those things. And it's right here, all in the book of Proverbs. I want to just quickly read through some things that are the fruit of getting wisdom, some of which we've read already. In Proverbs 2:10, it says, let wisdom enter your heart. So it's not just your soul, it's your spirit, it's your soul as well. Wisdom in Proverbs 9:1 says, will build your house. In 9:11, it will multiply your days. In Proverbs 18:4, it says, wisdom flows from the wise like a babbling brook. I love that picture. Wouldn't you like to have wisdom just flowing out of you like a babbling brook that's going to refresh people and bring what they need to them? Get wisdom and develop good judgment. In 4:8, it says, wisdom will make you great. In 4:7, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. I love that one. In 4:6, wisdom will protect you. In Proverbs 2:12, it says, wisdom will save you from evil people. And in verse 16, it says, wisdom will save you from immoral women. In Proverbs 3:13, it says, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. There is great fruit in having wisdom. It will do all kinds of things for you, protect you. It will make you rich in the ways of God. But you know, whenever it says, several scriptures I've read and we've talked about, talk about godly and skillful wisdom, that implies that there's ungodly wisdom. Not by saying it, but if it is defined as godly wisdom, it just means there's ungodly wisdom too. And where did that start? And what does that look like, ungodly wisdom? Right at the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3. We know this story, but I've seen it in a new light as I was preparing this. In Genesis chapter 3, we'll just start at the beginning. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. To be shrewd doesn't sound like godly wisdom to me. It sounds like something, but not godly wisdom. One day he asked the woman, did God really say to you, you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Well, she's exaggerating for one thing. God didn't say don't touch it. So she's already kind of going off track. And the serpent replies, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. What caused Lucifer's fall? He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God. And here's Eve saying, here's what it says about Eve. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. This was wisdom that God never intended man to have, the knowledge of good and evil. She wanted to have what God had. That is what the serpent tempted her with. You will be like God. Ungodly wisdom is wanting things that God says are not good for us. Of really the same sin that Satan committed. She wanted to have wisdom, but she really wanted to be like God. That's the thing that tempted her into sin. And when we try and do things our way, when we try and figure out in our brains what is the best thing to do, when we try and work out our own problems, when we turn to all kinds of things that God has not called us to look at to find our answers, what we're really saying is we want to be like God. And there are things in this life he never intended us to know. It's not becoming wise. It's becoming foolish. And it won't lead to life. It will lead to death many times. In Proverbs 3:7, it says, "Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." With humility comes wisdom. And sometimes that is saying, "I don't know what to do, but God, you do. I want your wisdom, not my wisdom. And I don't want to know the things that you don't want me to know." God never intended man to know good and evil. Did Adam and Eve have wisdom before the fall? I think so. If Adam named all the animals, right? And they talked with God every day, they had godly and skillful wisdom. They were given a command and a mandate to take authority over things and to subdue things. They had already been given the assignment that God had wanted them to have, which had to be godly and skillful wisdom. But Eve wanted to have wisdom that was not godly. The same thing. In James 3:13 through 17 in the Amplified, it says this: "Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom." Unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. "But if you have bitter jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourself on it and thus be in defiance and false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from heaven above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish, and demoniacal. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices." There's not only a wisdom that man has that comes from his own mind. There is demonically inspired wisdom. Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God has. God wants to give us godly wisdom. Satan has a counterfeit. And part of how you can know that you're not yielding to it is you're going to be more confused. You will have unrest, disharmony, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. That's the fruit of ungodly wisdom, those things. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure and undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It's willing to yield to reason. It's full of compassion and good fruits. It's wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. The comparison between the two is quite clear, isn't it? One will lead to death, demonic wisdom. One will lead to life. In Proverbs 3:18, it says, "Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and happy are those who hold her tightly." In Proverbs 17:24, it says, sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom. I want to keep my eyes glued on godly wisdom. I want to read one more time as I close here. Isaiah 11, but from the Passion Translation, and then we'll pray together. In the Passion Translation, this piece of scripture is titled The Branch of the Lord. The cut-off stump of Jesse will sprout, and a fruitful branch will grow from its roots. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of extraordinary wisdom, the Spirit of perfect understanding, the Spirit of wise strategy, the Spirit of mighty power, the Spirit of revelation, and the Spirit of the fear of Yahweh. He will find delight in living by the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He will neither judge by appearance nor make his decisions based on rumors. With righteousness, he will uphold justice for the poor and defend the lowly on the earth. His words will be like a scepter of power that conquers the world, and with his breath, he will slay the lawless one. Righteousness will be his warrior's sash, and faithfulness his belt. Father, we come to you tonight. And in this age of so many voices, in so much confusion, in all that we see that is not from you, Lord God, we're asking you tonight for wisdom. We're asking you, Lord God, for your wisdom. Father, we're asking you that wisdom would be the tree of life in us. We're asking you, Lord God, for wisdom for specific things and just to be the way we live our lives. Father, we thank you that you've called us now your branches who will bear fruit. We long to bear the fruit of wisdom in our generation, O God. We thank you for your Spirit in us. And we pray, Lord God, for extraordinary wisdom. We pray, Lord, for perfect understanding. We want wise strategy, O God. Let your Spirit stir up within us and make evident your mighty power. May we have the Spirit of revelation, and may we lay the foundation of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord in our lives. Let us find our delight in living that way. And Father, forgive us that at times we've judged by appearances, or we've made decisions based on rumors, that we've not always upheld justice for the poor or defended the lowly. But Lord, we're asking for your wisdom to accomplish those things.
Lord, that we would not judge by what we see with our natural eye, but what you reveal to us in every situation. That we would not base our decisions on rumors, but on your word and what you speak to us in wisdom. Father, help us be a people that would uphold justice for the poor and defend the lowly on this earth. Let your word in us be like a scepter of power that conquers the world and defeats the enemy, Lord God. We cry out to you tonight for wisdom. We want your wisdom, Lord. We want it to flow out of us like a babbling brook, that not only would it establish us, but it would bring life to others as well, just as you did, is our branch. Let us as a branch bear much fruit. Thank you, Lord. We ask for your spirit of wisdom even to fall on us right now. Lord, for those who are making life-changing decisions, for those who need a word from you this night, for those in this room who are confused and don't know which way to go, for those that are looking to answers for their life, Lord, we pray right now, just as your word told us, we ask, Lord, that you would pour out wisdom in every situation and circumstance represented in this room. Lord, that we would know what you need us to know to be wise. Lord, that we would remain humble in our wisdom, that all glory and honor would praise you who are wisdom, you who are power. Receive the glory and the honor. We thank you for doing it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. I pray even now, Lord, you'd be dropping nuggets of wisdom into people's minds. Lord, that solutions they've been waiting for would just come even this very night, Lord God. And let us consider the brevity of our days, that wisdom will continue to grow day by day, circumstance by circumstance. And we thank you for doing it, Lord. We thank you for doing it, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, teach us how to teach our children the ways of the wise. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I'm sensing some specific things. I feel like there may be someone here tonight that needs wisdom concerning your job, that you've been offered something other than what you're doing now and you're not sure. I'm sensing that there's one or two people that need wisdom concerning relationships, how to bring peace in relationships. And that there's someone who is looking and seeking you for wisdom concerning a health issue. speak clearly, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, speak, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for new beginnings and new ways of doing things, Lord God. Father, I pray that even in the familiar, we would ask and not just think it will be done the same way because it's the way we've always done it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Father, I pray that there will be testimonies as you speak to us, Lord God, as we begin to see and know things that we didn't before, that will not only change our lives, but the lives of those around us. And we thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.